Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
But for the last few weeks, I've actually been sharing about going to Tallahassee and lobbying on behalf of innocent human life. And we've actually shared really the principles, the pro-life principles that we share with the legislators. Did that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we went over the proposed legislation. Today, we're going to cover the state of abortion in Florida, including abortion pill analysis. And I know some people will think, well, why would you talk about this in church? Well, the reason we talk about this in church is because God cares about human life. Human life, as we have mentioned many times, we are created in God's image. We are His image bearer. Every human being is created in His image. We have the right to life given to us by God. The Declaration of Independence affirms that. The U.S. Constitution affirms that. The Florida Constitution affirms that. Those rights, our right to life, did not come from government. It wasn't granted by government. It came from God because we're created in His image. God places such an important view. He has such an important view on the protection of innocent human life that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, He actually instituted the death penalty as a punishment for anyone who would slay an innocent human being. In other words, to protect innocent human life, God instituted the death penalty. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 9. We also have talked from the Bible, from Psalm 139, that God actually knit us and formed us while we were in our mother's womb. Jeremiah was called as a prophet from the mother's womb. Jesus Christ, of course, He was the Holy Spirit, came upon Mary, and He was conceived. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so really, it wasn't the normal way that human beings are conceived. But Jesus was actually called from the Holy Spirit, and He was even called Savior by Elizabeth. And the Bible says that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. We know that when baby Jesus was in Mary's womb, really at a very early age, Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leapt at that time in Elizabeth's womb. At the presence of Jesus Christ, Elizabeth called Jesus her Lord while Jesus was in Mary's womb. And also, the Bible specifically says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. The Bible also tells us that the Apostle Paul, whose name was Saul, who really, you know, that in the very first Christian martyr, Stephen, people were laying their garments at Saul's feet, and he was in agreement with the stoning of Stephen. As people actually, the Jews actually stoned Stephen, he was the first Christian martyr, and he was persecuting Christians. Saul was persecuting Christians, and yet Paul says that he was called to be an apostle from his mother's womb. That God had a plan. That plan wasn't certainly seen. And I know when you read about the conversion, certainly Paul wasn't seeking God. He wasn't trying to find God. He was actually thought he was obeying God, but he was persecuting Christians and putting them to death. And so you see this happening, and you see this in the Bible, that Paul was actually called. He was actually called from his mother's womb. He was actually called and to be an apostle. And so Really, every single human being is valuable in God's eyes. God also commands you and me to be a defender of the weak and helpless and fatherless. And really, you might say, well, a preborn child has a father, but in many cases, their father is advocating for their death. In many cases, when we talk about abortion, the father, the boyfriend, or the husband is actually pressuring or coercing, putting pressure. Sometimes even fathers have done this at gunpoint to tell their girlfriend or their wife that they will have this abortion, and threatening to leave them if they don't have this abortion. And so really the preborn child very, very much so in many cases is like someone who is fatherless. And God tells us in Psalm 82 that we are to defend the fatherless. We're to defend the weak. We're to establish justice in the earth. And certainly ripping a baby limb from limb, which is one form of abortion, crushing her skull, poisoning that baby, or withdrawing, giving the mother a pill that would withdraw and cut off a necessary hormone for the development and the continued life of that baby, and then another pill that causes that mother to go into a violent contractions and actually deliver a dead baby on her own toilet. And this is what we see in abortion. That is not justice. It's not justice to the preborn. It's not justice to those who were innocently put to death. The Bible also tells us that we are to rescue. In Proverbs chapter 24, we're to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. And this passage, I've mentioned this in the past, and this passage, this word rescue, is the same word. If you recall King David, when he and his men went to war one time, they came back and the enemy had actually raided their camp and had taken their wives and their children captive. And David and his men, some of them weren't strong enough because they had actually been really traveling for a long time after fighting a battle. And David and his men, some of them stayed behind because they weren't quite strong enough to go to battle. But the ones that were strong enough went, and they rescued their wives and their children, and they brought them back. They defeated the enemy and brought them back. The Bible also says that God hates certain things. We know and we see a lot about God's love, and certainly one of the things that I encourage people to do is, first of all, read the Bible, measure what you believe against what the Bible says. Don't just take what someone says as truth. Read the Bible yourself. Search out Scripture, see what Scripture has, what the Bible says about certain topics. And another thing is you want to actually get into the Word of God. And one thing that I would encourage you to do, you can do this, it's real easy to do today in today's world. You know, in the old days, if you wanted to do, you know, even when I was a young Christian, a teenager, really, I mean, I was a Christian from a young child, but really I started really seeking God and reading the Bible and studying the Bible when I was a teenager. And at that point, you didn't have computer programs where you could actually search out Scripture. You didn't have a smartphone where you could search out Scripture. You didn't have websites where you could search out Scripture. You had these big concordances, and you would have to actually look for a word, and it would tell you every place that word was in the Bible, and you'd have to go there to find it. But today, you can go to BibleGateway.com, and I would encourage you to do that. Go do a search for God is, and you'll be amazed what He is. He is love, but that's not the first thing He is. God is love, but God is also righteous. God is holy, and because God is righteous and He is holy, God hates sin, and there's actually some sin that He hates. I know some people say, well, every sin is the same, but the Bible actually gives some sins that God says are an abomination. There are some sins that carry a national penalty. By the way, the shedding of innocent blood does carry a penalty for the land, for the nation, and also for the county and the city around that where the innocent blood was shed. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 6 that there's six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven that are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So it actually doesn't just say, and a lot of times, you know, we hear God hates the sin and loves the sinner, and that's certainly true. But this here says God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And really, what you need to realize is if you have been involved in abortion, maybe you've worked in an abortion clinic, maybe you've actually had an abortion, maybe you pressured someone into having an abortion, maybe you helped someone have an abortion, maybe you were there and you were the parent that was advocating for the death of your grandchild and encouraging and really even pressuring your daughter or your daughter-in-law to have an abortion. Maybe you were the boyfriend or the husband that was saying, I'm going to leave you if you don't have an abortion. Maybe you were a mother that said, I'm not ready to be a mother, even though you already were a mother and you participated in abortion. You need to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. And I would also encourage you to reach out to a pro-life pregnancy center and go through their post-abortion counseling. But God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. He hates the shedding of innocent blood. And God wants us to end this. So let's go to the report on the state of abortion in the state of Florida. So first of all, one of the things that you may have heard is that abortions are down. In fact, they're down to the reported number of abortions for 2025 is 48,145. And there are some pro-life organizations in the state of Florida that really have taken a victory lap and have said, look at the good that we're actually doing. But we're saying not so fast. The reason is that these stats only include the reported abortions that are happening at abortion clinics today. And it does not include abortions that are happening through chemical abortions and those that are happening with women today. We'll talk more about this a little bit later, but women today can actually call up or go online to a website and order the abortion pill and have it shipped across state lines from other states in the nation or even from out of the country and have this shipped to their house. Even though this is illegal in the state of Florida, it is still happening, and these stats do not include those numbers. When we look at the percentage that was reported, and we see the reasons why they had abortion, 71.54% were for personal choice or elective abortions, 23.51% were for social or economic reasons. And then you have really the rest of it is less than the rest of it is less than 5% that we're looking at. In fact, very small percentages that of abortions that were performed for children that were conceived in rape or incest or human trafficking, at least based on the reporting. And so the vast majority of abortions that are happening in the state of Florida are just for personal preference and to make one's life easier or because someone doesn't want to pay for an extra child. By the way, there are people that are waiting to adopt. One of the things that we're going to talk about today is the abortion pill and really also the confusion in the impact of emergency contraception or the morning after pill and also the abortion pill. So there is a misconception. Public health surveys in Florida in 2025 found that nearly 30% of residents confuse the morning after pill with the abortion pill. So the morning after pill is a pill that if conception hasn't already happened, it can prevent conception. It's taken the morning after physical intimacy, intercourse. And however, if conception already has happened, the morning after pill is abortifacient and will actually kill the preborn child. Although this preborn child is very young, very tiny, you wouldn't even see this preborn child, but that preborn child will be killed by the morning after pill. And really, the morning after pill is designed to be used within 36 hours of intercourse. The abortion pill is actually designed to be used up to 70 days after intercourse. And so this is, there is a difference there. There's also the shield law factor. The report that shows how many abortions happened, the official report that shows how many abortions happened, show in-state clinical abortions are down. They do not track self-managed abortions via pills mailed from out of state or out of the country shield law providers. Some of the decline, perhaps really, I would say even looking at the stats, nationwide abortions are up. In the state of Florida, live births are down, even though our population is increasing. The number of babies that are being born alive are down in our state. It's very likely that the number of abortions that are actually being done in our state are actually higher than they were last year, and really even probably higher than they were before. Some other factors here is that you actually have the cost of abortion has gone up, even though most abortions now are happening through chemicals. The cost of abortion in the state of Florida, the average cost of abortion is more than $800. And so this is pushing people toward emergency contraception, which again can be contraceptive, but it also can be abortifacient if fertilization has already happened, and also the abortion pill. When we look at the effects of the abortion pill on women, we see that really, the abortion pill is harming women. We know that it harms children. The children in the womb, really, unless the mother, and really the way the abortion pill works, is there's one pill that is taken that actually stops the production of progesterone. Progesterone is a necessary hormone for the development of the baby. Once that stops, the baby starts to die. There's a second pill that is taken that causes the mother to go into a violent, severe contractions and actually deliver a dead baby, very tiny, sometimes maybe an inch or two tall, in her own toilet. And the toilet water actually washes away the blood, and she sees this very tiny but perfectly formed human being that she participated in killing. So the abortion pill is dangerous for babies, but it's also dangerous for women. 63% of abortions are now completed with the abortion pill regimen. 1 in 25 women visit the ER after taking the abortion pill. And one of the things that happens when they receive the abortion pill, they're actually told and instructed, if you have any complications and you have to go to the doctor, if you have to go to the emergency room, don't tell them that you took the abortion pill. And so really, there's the stats that we're talking about how many women are having complications are actually underreported. The women are actually experiencing far more complications. One of the things that is being seen is there's over a 500% increase in miscarriages. Well, those aren't miscarriages. Most of those are actually abortion, and the women are not telling the medical providers what they've actually had. 1 in 10 women experience serious adverse effects. At least 26 deaths have been reported to the FDA after the abortion pill use. Again, not all patients are telling what they actually took. 6% require surgery after the abortion pill. 39% of second trimester. By the way, the abortion pill is not designed for second trimester, but women are still taking it, especially when they order these pills over state lines and out of the country. They're being told, well, just take two doses. Just take a double dose and you'll be okay. So 39% of second trimester chemical abortions wind up in the ER and will need surgical follow-up due to hemorrhaging or an incomplete abortion. The complication rate is 4 times that of surgical abortion. Women are actually being told that chemical abortions are safer. They're being told that it will be kind of like having a period. But really, they're not being prepared for what they're going to experience. And when women actually see their own baby in the toilet and they realize what has happened, they realize this isn't a blob of tissue. They realize that this is an actual preborn child that came out of their womb and that they participated in the death of their child. Those women are stricken with that reality and with the grief, and they'll go through that unless they repent of their sins, unless they go through really post-abortion counseling and healing from that, unless God heals them from that for the rest of their life. On the day that their baby would have been born, they're going to mourn the loss of their preborn child. Around the time that it happened, that the abortion happened, they're going to mourn the loss of their preborn child. Every time they go into the bathroom is becoming the abortion clinic. And every time they go into the bathroom, they're going to be reminded of what happened. And women are now 3 times more likely to have mental health visits and twice as likely to abuse alcohol or drugs. And really, one of the things that is happening, ordering the abortion pill over state lines or out of the country is not legal in the state of Florida, but it is happening. Now, if you live in California right now and you want to buy straws, plastic straws, you will not be able to order those from Target or Walmart or Amazon. They won't ship them because it's against the law. But you can go to Google right now today and you can do a search for how to buy the abortion pill. If you live in the state of Florida, there are companies that market that they will ship the abortion pill to the state of Florida, and the state of Florida is doing nothing to enforce the laws that they have on the books. The laws that they have on the books will not and do not protect every innocent human life, and they should. But even these laws that actually restrict abortion and actually require that a woman has a doctor's visit prior to the abortion, those laws are being violated, and they're being violated with immunity. There's no consequences for these companies that are out of state, out of the country. They're not being prosecuted. They're not being brought to justice. They're not being held accountable for what they're doing. Another thing that happens is these women aren't receiving a medical examination ahead of time. They don't know if they have a tubal pregnancy or if the baby is actually in their womb. They're not having an ultrasound. They don't know what is happening there. And really, they are going to go through an experience where they are going to have the same symptoms as if they had a tubal pregnancy that ruptured in the fallopian tube. They're going to have heavy cramping. They're going to have heavy bleeding. And the symptoms are going to be the same. And there are some women that have actually died because they didn't know, and other women who had someone around them. I mean, imagine this. Little girls, teenage girls, are actually ordering these. They're able to order these online and able to pick up the phone and order these without verification of how old they are. And imagine a girl that doesn't want her parents to find out that she's pregnant, and she takes these pills, and she's having these horrible cramps and pain, and she doesn't want her family to know that she's going through this. And some of these girls are actually dying from this. And so we need to have laws that protect the preborn, and we also need to have laws that protect innocent human life. We need to end the shedding of innocent blood in our state, and we need to protect women and children. Father, we do come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray today that you would help us to fight to restore justice in our state to the preborn, to end the shedding of innocent blood. Help us, Father, to work to restore the sanctity of human life, where people realize that we are created in God's image, we are His image bearers. And it is for this reason that we actually have and should, that our life should be protected. Father, we pray that you would do this in the name of Jesus. We pray for anyone listening that has been involved in abortion, that you would convict them of their sins and grant them a spirit of repentance and turn them from their wicked way. Father, don't just forgive them, but heal them of the hurt and help them to be an advocate for the protection of innocent human life, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and give us a chance.
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.